Good morning, everybody. I nearly said real people and pretend people. People within the building and people not in the building. Good morning. God bless. Jan, when she's ready, is going to bring us the notices.
Welcome. Yes. Welcome on this lovely day. Well, lovely day. The sky was a bit black when I came in. We need some rain over our gardens. Anyway, welcome to everybody here. Welcome to the people on the other side of the screen. It's good for you to be with us. Right, so notices for this week. This afternoon is prospects at 3 o'clock. Just you cheering today, Tim? I'll let you off then. This evening, if you'd be prayerful, please, for the leadership. It's our meeting tonight at 6 o'clock. We've got lots of things to discuss. On Monday, the 16th of June, is the ladies' meeting at 1:30. Tuesday is the ARC playgroup. That's at 10 o'clock and 1 o'clock. Wednesday and Thursday, there is no activities going on this week at all. There's no prayer meeting and there's no lunch club, simply because the roads closed on Eden Grove and we can't get the ladies to lunch club. So we're closing for both. I think it's closed for about 4 days. Saturday the 21st of June, prayer meeting is at 9:30, and the 22nd of June is the junior church led service, and that evening we start our first session of the Alpha course. If you've seen, I've been giving out some information about what we're going to do on the actual night. Well, it's said to have a training meeting, but I don't think it's necessary really. So there's a few bits of information. If you haven't put your name down yet to help, there's still time to put your name down and I can give you a sheet and tell you what it's all about. So, Carol's written at the bottom. We've changed the way the prayer chain operates. It's now accessed through a WhatsApp group. It's open to everyone who would like to join. Any prayer request should be passed on to Joe or any one of the leadership team. If anyone has a problem getting onto the group, please talk to one of the leadership team, but not me. Website, Facebook page, all updated regularly. Thank you. Thomas. Well, sorry, we're a bit earlier than we thought, but with the... Okay. Is that okay?
Yeah. It's a bit earlier than I was expecting, which is why it's a bit... So, it's just, as you all probably know, it's Father's Day, so I should say good morning, everyone, and happy Father's Day. Today's about celebrating the men who've helped shape us. Not just our biological dads, but any man who stepped into that role with love, patience and strength. That could be a stepdad, a granddad, an uncle, or someone else entirely. In my life, my dad's always been someone I look up to. He always knows what to say, but the thing I admire most about him is how he listens. He actually hears what I'm saying, even when I don't make much sense, which is quite a lot of the time. I also want to talk about my granddad. He's always been around, offering quiet support and funny little comments that usually make more sense the second time you think about them. So today, I want to say thank you to every dad, granddad, stepdad, or any man who's been a role model for everyone in this church. Thank you for being there. Thank you for setting an example. Thank you for listening, teaching, and sometimes just sitting quietly with us when we need it. And to my dad, thank you for being exactly who you are. I notice more than you think, and I'm grateful more than I say. Happy Father's Day.
The reading from the Church Bible is on page 901, and we're reading from John chapter 15, the first 17 verses, so it's page 901. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another.
So today we've come to the end of our I Am series. And we finally get the answer to who is Jesus in all his abundance. And I wonder if you can remember what are the I Am statements that we've looked at over these past weeks. This is not a rhetorical question you have to shout out or put your hand up if you've got one. You are? No, you're not. Jesus is. Have a chocolate.
I'm the door.
Are you?
No, he is.
Thank you. Anything else?
The Lion Judah.
Oh, no, it's not an I am statement.
I am the Lion Judah.
No, not quite.
He is the good
Try
shepherd.
Again.
I am the
He
body.
Is the good shepherd.
Who said shepherd? I can't chuck it at the cameras. Yeah, phone's off. What do we have?
I am the
vine. Are
you?
Jesus is the vine. Jesus. He doesn't
get it. He is the light of the world. He is. The light of
the world. He is the way.
He
is
said
the
that.
Way, the truth, and the life.
Ah, George. Yeah. I can't chuck it there, George. I need a carrier of chocolate. Have we had them all yet? Is there anything missing? Have you had the bread of life?
No.
No.
I said the bread of life.
Did you? Thanks.
Jesus said, I am
the I am. I am the Alpha. You've tried lots, I think, Tim. I think you deserve the chocolate. Catch.
I'll give it to someone.
Go on.
You can have it. So, we have some Brucey bonuses. I don't know if anyone can remember Brucey bonuses, but that gives away my age. What is the other part of these? So, I am the bread of life.
He comes to me shall not hunger.
Yeah, kind of, a bit more. I have to look it up, okay? I can't, my memory is short.
He comes to me shall not hunger. He who believes in me, though he dies, he will live.
Whoever
believes in me shall have life, and life to the full.
Oh no, you're mixing. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. You tried?
I can do that.
Oh. I am the light of the world. What's the rest of that?
Nobody comes to the Father except through me.
Yeah.
No.
Boy gets one.
It's dark. It's dark in here. I am the light of the world. No. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. I am the door. Yeah, who said that? Michael, can you catch? I get a bit nearer.
I'm trying to swim.
Sorry. I am the Good Shepherd. What does the Good
Shepherd? Those who hear my voice will follow me.
No. Bit of it. Yeah, the Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. I am the resurrection and the life.
Nobody comes to the Father except
for me.
This is hard, isn't it? Ooh, really hard. What's she doing to us? I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Oh, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Yay! We got one properly. We got a Brucey bonus. Catch. Well done. So Jesus says, if you really know me, you will know the Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. And all of these statements kind of culminate and they point towards the final statement that we look at today. And we answer that question, who is Jesus? Jesus said, I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. You may know it as, I am the true vine, my Father is the gardener. I don't know which you prefer, which sticks in your head more? Vine dresser. Depends what you learnt, doesn't it? Depends what you learnt when you were younger. So for me, it's gardener. But there we go. Who knows what a vine dresser is? Yeah, clips the vines, tends the vines,
get the secateurs out.
So it helps, someone that helps the vine to grow well and to produce healthy fruit and good fruit and to maximise the yield, the amount of fruit that we get off of the vine. The more fruit, the better. I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser, Jesus says. So what does it mean if Jesus is the vine? Then he's the one that produces the fruit. And if we're talking about fruit, then my mind goes back to a passage in Galatians about the fruit of the Spirit. Can we name the fruit of the Spirit?
Love.
Love, patience.
Self-control.
Yeah, you got that. Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, or forbearance, kindness, generosity, or goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And we produce our fruit through Jesus being the vine. And it's the Holy Spirit whom he sent, who is the fruit in our lives. The fruit of our lives is of the Spirit. I am the true vine, and the Father is the gardener. Hang on, I forgot that one. And today is also Trinity Sunday. I actually thought it was last week, but no, today is Trinity Sunday. So the Trinity being Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And here we kind of have this Trinitarian analogy, if you like. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. While every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be ever more faithful. If you're a gardener, then you know all about deadheading. You know all about pruning things. You know about the fact that you have to take the dead flowers off and you have to prune your rose bushes twice a year to get the best fruit and the best flowers. And you know, none of us can stay the same. Our bodies are forever making new cells. That's the way our bodies are designed. A flower is designed to produce more flowers. A vine is designed to produce more fruits. All living things and the world around us is in that constant state of change. I can remember as a teenager, and I can remember my dad was doing the ironing and we had this phone call, and my dad looked very solemn after, and I asked him, well, what was that about? And he said, oh, your gran has died. I said, okay. He's very matter of fact about it. But it's funny, isn't it, those things that stick in your head, you know exactly where you are when you get sort of bad news or something significant happens. And I remember that night we all went to bed, and in the middle of the night the telephone rang and I rushed down the stairs to answer it. And it was my brother-in-law saying that my niece had been born. And it's like one out of the world and one into the world. It's kind of the natural order of things, isn't it? It's difficult, but it's the natural order of things. And also sometimes God asks us to close a door before he opens another one. He asks us to put some things down before he gives us something else in our hands. We have to empty our hands and empty ourselves before he can fill us properly and give us the new things that he wants for us. I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. Well, every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain on the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. It could be argued that the Father's work as a gardener also serves as an interpretation for the question about what happened with Judas. Why did he die? Judas, the fruitless branch, as it were, had been broken off, while the rest of the disciples were clean and ready to be more fruitful. And perhaps that's what it's telling us. None of us can remain in a state of strong faith on our own. We all need each other. None of us can remain strong in our faith without Jesus. And remembering that John's gospel also speaks strongly to the Jews, he's emphasising it's Jesus that we need. Here in black and white that we need Jesus, and we need not only to accept him as that long-awaited Messiah. And the Jews need to accept him as that long-awaited Messiah. And some have already and some haven't. Some are still on the way. But we all need Jesus. We all need to remain to the vine, remain attached to the vine. But also we all need pruning from time to time. We all do things that are dishonouring to God, things that are sinful. We all say things that aren't godly. We often think of ourselves as we shouldn't. We often put things in the way of God's. We all need parts of us pruned from time to time. And the Christian life is all about this continual submitting to Jesus and submitting to the Father's will. And I'm reminded that our thoughts aren't necessarily God's thoughts. And sometimes we think that perhaps something should happen and it doesn't because it's not God's will and it's difficult. But there's something about us aligning our prayers with that of God's. Remaining Jesus isn't a passive thing. It's more than just allowing Jesus to rule in our hearts. It's an ongoing thing. And this concept continues to build in the passage. And the second section, the I am. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. So this is right at the centre of our analogy. Jesus is the vine. God the Father is the gardener. And we are the branches. And the Holy Spirit, not mentioned explicitly, is the fruit. We are the branches. We dwell in Jesus the vine. And Jesus dwells in us. The Spirit too is intrinsic and hangs from the branches. And we're told if we remain dwelling in Jesus, then we bear much fruit, and fruit in abundance. And if we don't remain in him, then we're told we're like the branches that are thrown away and withers and are used for firewood. And I don't know about you, but my prayer is always more fruit, Lord, please, more fruit. We've inherited some fruit bushes, little black currants. And, you know, I've come here and there's millions of these little black currants all just ripening. More fruit, Lord, more fruit. If we remain in him and we ask things in line with his will, we're told that he will give us whatever we wish for. But it's about remaining in his will. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. God wants nothing more for us to bear lots of fruit and to be his disciples. And Jesus calls us friends. We're not servants, we're friends. There's that closeness, that friendship. It's not about doing what we're told, it's about walking together. It's about discipling together. We walk together on this road of faith, all of us together, not on our own. And all of us with Jesus. We walk on this road of faith together, encouraging one another as we walk along. That's what it means to be a disciple, to encourage one another, to be there for one another when we're sad or when we're happy or however we're feeling. Our job isn't finished when we accept Jesus. It's continual. We're encouraged to disciple one another. We're encouraged to share our faith. We all have things to learn from each other. My experiences aren't your experiences, and your experiences aren't mine. And we all learn from each other's experience, and we all learn from the Word of God together and help each other to work out, to discern what the Word of God is saying at any moment in time. We all are gifted in different ways. And I thank God for that, because if we were all exactly the same, wouldn't life be boring? But being a Christian isn't just believing in God. Satan or the devil, whoever you want to call him, also believes in God. It's about living out our faith. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Jesus loves us with such a deep love. And if you think you know how deep that love is, you don't. Because we can't hold his love. It's so big and so vast. And in the same way that God loves us so much, Jesus loves us so much, and the Spirit loves us so much. Remain in Jesus' love is about keeping his commands, just as Jesus kept his commands. And his love is summed up by his sacrificial death, about his dying on a cross. And that was Jesus' joy, to do that for us. In making that final sacrificial love for us. He was the sacrificial lamb. He is the sacrificial lamb. The Passover lamb of Isaiah 15. And there's sacrificial overtones. So communion is sacrificial. There's sacrificial overtones throughout John's gospel and throughout those I am statements. And there's no coincidence or no mistake about that. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends, and if you do what I command, I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. We've all been appointed, we've all been commissioned to bear fruit, lasting fruit. So how do we do that? How do we produce lasting fruits? This is how we produce lasting fruits. This is my command. Love each other. Love each other. All the I am statements answer the question of who is Jesus? And the conclusion to the statements is this analogy and this one command. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. Well, every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. We bear fruit by following this one command. Love each other. How hard can that be? Sometimes it is hard, isn't it? Sometimes it's hard. It's easy to love people when they love us and when they're being nice to us. It's harder to love people when they're being horrible and when they're doing things that we disagree with. But yet we're all called to love one another and to carry on loving one another. Let's pray together before we move into the communion part of the service. Father God, we ask that you help us to be all that you've called us to be. To use all the gifts that you've given us. To accept the gifts that you want to give us. To lay down the things that are not of you. To accept you as Lord and Saviour. And to continue to be your disciple. Father God, we pray and ask that you continue to draw us together, that you help us to walk this road called life together with you. We pray that we may know more fruit in our own individual lives and in the life of this church. We pray that you will help us to love one another, even though we may be different. And despite those differences, to love each other as you love us. Shall we say the Lord's Prayer together? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
So I have some different words to share with communion today. So this is kind of a covenant-making wording, if you like. And I think that it's quite fitting given that, fairly recent I was inducted to be your minister, to which I thank God for, but just a covenant way of promising to follow Christ and to covenant to one together. So covenant is a promise. So it's just a reiteration of that as we gather around the Lord's table. And I think Marbeth and Glenn are going to come and join us to serve. Ooh. It's not Marbeth, it's Sandra. Do you want to take a seat for a moment? God has made us as a people. We've been shaped by God's will. And Jesus calls us together, and we meet in Jesus' name. The Spirit binds us together and leads us into truth. And here is the Lord's table, and we gather to his supper, a foretaste of things eternal. Come when you are fearful to be made new in love. Come when you are doubtful to be made strong in faith. Come when you are regretful and be made whole. Come, old and young, there is room for all. Look, here is the Lord's table, spread as for a feast. Bread for the breaking and the cup poured for drinking. signs of his love and hospitality and symbols of life broken, his blood poured out. He is not dead. He is risen and present among us, evidence of God's covenant grace and promise. And so we come in faith to this table, you and I, companions on the journey together. Some of us fresh and eager, others weary and in need of nourishment. All of us conscious of our own failings. Let's pray together. Most merciful God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we confess that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed. We have not loved you with our whole hearts. We have not loved our neighbours as ourselves. And in your mercy, forgive what we have been. Help us to amend what we are and direct what we shall be, that we may do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with you, our God. Amen. Come now, don't hesitate. The feast is ready and the Lord himself invites you. Creating and redeeming God, we give you thanks and praise. Your covenant of grace was made for our salvation in Jesus Christ, our Lord. We come this day to renew our covenant with you and with companion disciples, to watch over each other, to walk together before you in ways known and still to be made known. Pour your Spirit upon us. Help us to walk in your ways, that the life that we live together may become an offering of love, our duty and delight truly glorifying to you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. This day we give ourselves again to the Lord and to each other, to be bound together in fellowship and work together in the unity of the Spirit for the sake of God's mission. In our congregation, in local partnership, in our association and in the wider union, we commit all that we have and are to fulfil God's purpose of love. It was the night of the Passover and Jesus and his friends were sharing supper together. And while they were eating, he told them that one of them would betray him. They were appalled and protested, saying, "Not I, I would never betray you." And Jesus took some bread and he broke it. And he gave it to them, saying, "Take this and eat. This is my body." And he took the cup, and after giving thanks, he passed it among them, saying, "This is my blood of the covenant. It's poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. I will not drink again until the day comes when I drink with you in my Father's kingdom." Creating and redeeming God, we give you thanks and praise for your covenant of grace, a covenant expressed in sinful people who know forgiveness, the weary who are refreshed, the hungry who are nourished, the captives who are set free and oppressed, who are experiencing liberation. Thank you that you chose to make us part of your story. Thank you for Jesus Christ, who revealed your love in his death and resurrection, and who continues to share his life with us through the bread and the cup. Thank you for sending the Holy Spirit, who sustains us in our walk together, helping us to watch over each other, to pray for one another, and to work together for justice and truth. As we eat this bread and drink this cup, signs of hospitality and grace, may we be empowered to serve bodily wherever you may call,
accept these prayers and our heartfelt thanks in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. We share the bread, one people, one loaf, a sign of our common faith and testimony to the generosity of the Lord Jesus Christ. We take this loaf, food for faith, and feed on it with thanksgiving. We will eat the bread as we are served, and we'll hold on to the cup, the juice in this instance, so that we may drink together. One people, one cup, a sign of the new covenant poured out for you and for many. It's a covenant sealed by his blood. When we drink, we must be thankful and agree together never to forget. Let's drink together until he comes again. Holy God, we have been nourished and had our thirst quenched through bread broken and wine poured in thanksgiving for your Son, Jesus Christ. Send us out to be as generous to those we meet this week, that we might show through word and deed that he is not dead, but risen and present among us, that we may know God's love and share that love. All of you. Amen. Amen.
So I want you to just think of a time when God was really close. A time when you saw him do something in your life. Because he's been with you since the beginning. And knowing that, all those many things, I want you to step out this week in faith to do what he wants you to do. And maybe during coffee, you can share some of those amazing things that you've seen in your life to help other people to step out in faith. So before we get chatting, let's say the grace together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, evermore. Amen.